Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Prime Cable Industries. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Janhvi Shah from Share India Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ria. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Share India Securities Limited, I would like to welcome you all to the H2 FY 2026 and FY 2026 earnings conference call for Prime Cable Industries Limited. We have with us management today represented by Mr. Naman Singla, the Whole-time Director, Mr. Nikunj Singla, Whole-time Director, and the CFO, Mr. Naman Jain, and also Ritesh Shah from Axis Capital, company's investor relations advisor. Now, I'll hand over the conference to Mr. Naman Singla for opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor to Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. FY 2026 has been an important year in Prime Cable's growth journey. Over the last few years, we have been consciously transforming the company from a regional cable manufacturer into a more integrated and specialized wires and cables platform with stronger execution capabilities, deeper customer relationships, and increasing participation in higher-value transmission and distribution opportunities. FY 2026 reflects meaningful progress across each of these areas. During the year, the company reported revenue of approximately rupees 235 crores, representing year-on-year growth of 57%. It's supported by strong execution across utilities and infrastructure-led projects, healthy traction from private EPC customers, and sustained order inflows across key product categories. The broader industry environment also remained favorable during this year. India's wires and cables sector continued to benefit from strong structural growth drivers, including investment in power transmission distribution, renewable energy infrastructure expansions, rural electrification, urban infrastructure development, the boom in the industrial CapEx, and the data centers. We believe these trends are creating a large multi-year opportunity for organized and technically qualified cable manufacturers like us. EBITDA has increased from 14.6 crores in FY 2025 to approximately 23.5 crores in FY 2026, while PAT increased from 7.4 crores to 12.3 crores, reflecting a healthy growth in absolute profitability during this year. During H2 of FY 2026, the company also incurred approximately 2 crore one-time professional and advisory expense. The post-tax impact of these expenses was approximately 1.5 crores, implying that reported PAT would have been very higher by a similar amount in their absence. These expenses were primarily related to the company's fundraising and public market readiness initiatives, including strategic restructuring, IPO evaluation, capital advisory, business valuation exercises, succession planning, and other related corporate matters. As these costs led to multi-year exercise that accumulated during this year, they're not expected to recur in the normal course of business in future. Operationally, we continue to strengthen our positioning across both LT and medium voltage cable categories. Historically, the company has built a strong presence in LT cable solutions across utilities, EPC contractors, and industrial customers. Going forward, we are strategically expanding into medium voltage segment, which offers higher entry barriers, better realizations, and strong margin potentials. A key differentiator of our business remains our customization and execution capabilities. Unlike large standardized cable manufacturers focused on mass products, Prime Cable operates with a project-oriented, made-to-order manufacturing model. Our ability to deliver customized solutions tailored to specific technical and project requirements enables us to participate in specialized opportunities where execution reliability and flexibility are very critical. During the year, we achieved important product qualification milestones, such like with BIS for solar cables, new BIS for aluminum conductors, and enhancing our power cable capabilities with BIS license from 3.3 kV to 33 kV, significantly strengthening our power portfolio and enabling participation in higher value power infrastructure and the fast-growing renewable EPC ecosystem. We also made strategic progress towards expanding into medium voltage cable segment through our upcoming Willow facility, alongside the groundbreaking of a new plant in Rajasthan, which will materialize enhance our addressable market and manufacturing scale. Today, the company approvals across more than 18 states, supported by strong operational track records, advanced manufacturing infrastructure, in-house NABL laboratory, and multiple type test certifications. Together, these capabilities create a meaningful competitive moat and strengthen our ability to participate in larger, higher value opportunities. Overall, we increasingly see Cyient Cables evolving not simply as a volume-driven cable structure, but as a specialized execution-led platform focused on technically qualified and project-oriented opportunities across India's power infrastructure ecosystem. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Nikunj Singla, who will discuss our capacity expansion, order book, and growth outlook.
Thank you, Naman. Good morning, everyone. From a capacity perspective, our existing two manufacturing facilities have an annual revenue potential of approximately INR 360 crores at an optimal utilization level of around 85% based on current raw material prices. To support the next phase of growth, the company's third manufacturing facility at Ghiloth, Rajasthan, focuses primarily on medium voltage cables, is expected to become operational by the end of Q2 FY27, with a gradual ramp up over FY27 and FY28 in terms of production. At peak utilization of approximately 85%, the facility is expected to add around 150 crores of annual revenue capacity. In addition, the company has finalized plans for a further capacity in this expansion plan. The new facility, which will be commissioned adjacent to the upcoming plant, is projected to add another 100 crores of annual revenue capacity at approximately 85% utilization. This expansion plan will be funded through a combination of accruals, internal accruals and debt by Q1 FY28. So we'll be adding another 100 crores of capacity by Q1 FY28 in the third manufacturing facility, which focuses more towards the medium voltage segment. Collectively, these expansion initiatives are expected to increase the company's total installed revenue capacity to over 600 crores based on the current raw material prices by FY28 quarter one. With these investments, the company is well positioned to capitalize on growing demand while further improving its product mix through a higher contribution from NV cables. The company remains committed to prudent capital allocation and expects future growth investments to be funded through internal cash generation and debt, thereby minimizing equity dilution. While FY26 utilization levels based on reported revenues were approximately 55% across the existing facilities, the company achieved near peak utilization during March 26 with combined monthly revenue of approximately 30 crore. This provides confidence in both underlying demand environment and the company's execution capabilities as it scales existing and upcoming capacities. As of March 31, 2026, our order book stood at approximately 170 crores. Subsequent to year end, we secured our largest ever order valued at 32 crore INR from a reputed private EPC contractor for HT cables, LTAB cables and covered conductors. Including this order, our order book as of May end stands at approximately 191 crores, providing strong near-term execution visibility. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic given healthy inquiry flows across utilities, renewable infrastructure, power distribution projects, and private EPC opportunities. Our key priorities remain scaling execution capabilities, increasing medium voltage contribution, improving utilization levels, expanding customer approvals, and driving operating leverage through a richer product mix. Based on our current installed capacity across all the facilities and the planned ramp-up of the Kilod campus, we aspire to deliver revenue growth of approximately 45% over the next 2 years, broadly in line with the peak revenue potential of our combined manufacturing facilities at optimal utilization levels based on current raw material prices. From a margin perspective, we expect EBITDA margins in FY27 to remain broadly stable in 10 to 11% range, as the contribution from medium voltage cable is expected to remain relatively modest during the initial ramp-up phase. As utilization of the MV facility improves and product mix gradually shifts towards higher value products, we believe this should support margin expansion opportunities from FY27 and 28 onwards. With that, I would like now to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Naman Jain, to discuss the financial performance in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and good morning, everyone. I would now take you through the company's financial performance for the H2 FY26 and full year FY26. Starting with the second half performance, revenue from operations for H2 FY26 stood at INR 144.2 crores as against INR 84.9 crores in H2 FY25, reflecting growth of 70% year-on-year. The growth during the period was primarily driven by the strong execution across utility and EPC-led projects, improving order inflows and healthy infrastructure-linked demand. EBITDA for H2 FY26 stood at INR 13.7 crores as compared to INR 9.2 crores in H2 FY25, thus reflecting a growth of 50% year-on-year. EBITDA margins during the period stood at 9.5%, supported by improving operating leverage and better capacity utilization. Profit after tax for H2 FY26 stood at INR 6.7 crores as compared to INR 4.9 crores in the corresponding period last year, reflecting the growth of 38% year-on-year. Moving to the full year performance, the company reported revenue from operations of INR 234.9 crores for financial year 26 as compared to INR 141 crores in financial year 25, representing year-on-year growth of approximately 67%. EBITDA for financial year 26 stood at INR 23.5 crores as compared to INR 14.6 crores in financial year 25, while EBITDA margin stood at approximately 10%. Profit after tax for financial year 26 stood at INR 12.3 crores as against INR 7.4 crores in financial year 25, reflecting strong year-on-year growth. From a customer perspective, government and utility-linked projects continued to contribute meaningfully to the revenues during the year, while private EPC and industrial customers also witnessed healthy growth. On the balance sheet side, our focus during the financial year 26 remained on maintaining prudent working capital management while supporting business growth. As of March 31, 2026, our total debt book stood at INR 51.5 crores, while net debt stood at INR 38.6 crores. The company continues to focus on improving collections, optimizing inventory levels, and maintaining balance sheet discipline as the business scales further. During the financial year 26, receivable days stood at 85 days, inventory stood at 62 days, and the overall cash conversion cycle stood at 81 days. It is important to note that receivable at the year end were relatively elevated, primarily due to the higher billing during the Q4, which is seasonally stronger from an execution perspective. The company has received approximately 35% of the collections from the outstanding receivables by May end. Accordingly, we expect receivable levels and working capital intensity to gradually normalize during the H1 financial year 27. Given the company's current revenue mix, where the government and utility-linked projects outlined continue to contribute a significant share of revenue, working capital intensity remains relatively elevated due to longer receivable cycle and milestone-based payment structures. At the same time, the company benefits from a balanced mix of government and private sector customers. While government projects provide scale and long-term visibility, private sector business generally offers faster payment cycles and better cash conversion. Accordingly, one of the company's strategic priorities over the medium term is to gradually increase the contribution from private sector customers, which should improve cash flow efficiency, reduce working capital intensity, and strengthen overall balance sheet quality. Overall, FY26 has been a strong year for Prime Cable Industries, marked by healthy revenue growth, improved execution skill, expanded customer approval, strengthened operational capabilities, and strong order inflows. We believe that company is well positioned to benefit from long-term opportunities emerging across India's power transmission, distribution, and renewable infrastructure ecosystem. With that, we would now like to open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations on fairly decent set of numbers. I had a question on the working capital, which you have kind of explained already. So can you quantify you said the working capital will normalize going forward. So to what level do you expect this number to fall down to? In terms of number of days, let's say.
So in the normal course of business, I think the debtor days will remain approximately 45 to 60 days and the whole 70 to 80 days and the whole working cycle would be at the similar levels.
80 days? You're confident of 80 days, sir?
Yes.
Okay, great.
So in the later half of the year, generally where the maximum revenues are booked and especially in the last 2 months of the H2. Therefore, the numbers look inflated, the data days and the working cycle days. But if you average down to the whole year,
Understood.
The numbers drop down to at least 18 or days. Yeah.
Understood. And sir, are you facing any problems with respect to aluminium? Because a lot of the capacity has been hit in the Middle East. So any problems on the aluminium side?
So not in terms of supply chain issues or in terms of any raw material unavailability. The only issue in long term is that we definitely are covered with the price variation clause. So in short term, there is no implication on the price of the raw material to us. But there could be a visible, a few point basis impact on EBITDA because when we calculate our gross profit by giving the prices, we take a base rate of any commodity on that date. And if the commodity prices increases by say 100 rupees, then the end customer gives us that 100 rupees that has increased in the price of the commodity. Correct.
Yeah.
But they don't give us any extra margin on that 100 rupees. Right. So there could be a short impact on the EBITDA in some basis point because these raw materials keep on increasing like this, they have been increased since December. So that is the only impact that we can see in future if it keeps on increasing like this.
Okay. Sir, two small questions. One is the volume number for the year. I calculated it to be around 20,350, if you can confirm that. Second, what kind of capex capitalization of gross block will we see for the upcoming 2 years given the investment plans that you have. And finally, one small request, to kindly move to quarterly reporting. The 6 month thing is too long a time. It would be better, sir, for everyone, for the company as well as for the investors, if you can move to the quarterly reporting schedule. That's it from my side, sir, if you can answer the two previous questions.
Can you repeat the first question?
The volume number, sir. You have given a utilization number, so rough,
right.
But I don't know whether that's the run rate number, year-end number, or the average for the entire year.
Right.
The volume
right.
numbers, they come out to be 20,350. If you can confirm yes. that is what you...
So, the utilization as an annual basis, it's coming around approx 55%. That's an analyzed number. But on monthly basis, as on March 26th, we have utilization was approximately 80-odd% on that particular month. Yeah.
Understood. And so the capex number for the next 2 years, what do you expect to capitalize over the next 2 years?
So we are doing a capex of around 40-odd crores. That will the whole capex. I think 25-odd capex will be finished in the H1 of this year, and by Q1 of FY28, we'll exhaust the whole capex, and that will give us a broad capacity of doing approximately 650-odd crores of at a utilization of 85%.
Perfect. So 25-15 for the next 2 years, capex.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sir, kindly consider the quarterly thing and all the best. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyansh Miri from NGP Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, very congrats on a great set of numbers, sir. Sir, I also want to continue from the capex side. So in the deck, we have shown, right, out of almost 90,000 square meters of area, we are utilizing 50, right? So the capex that you mentioned, right, that will happen in, I think, two parts you mentioned, right, like 25 and 40. So that is just for the 50 parts we have already planned. From the IU IPO side, right? Not utilizing the next part of the land parcel, right?
Right. So, by the first or maybe the initial period of the second quarter of this year, we'll be utilizing the IPO proceeds that had already been planned for the upcoming Euros manufacturing facility. And we have planned another capex of around 15-odd crores, which will be deployed by Q1 of FY28 at the same unit only. For the same land parcel.
Okay. Is this an additional one, what is already given in the investment?
It is an addition to the plant and machinery part, where we can expand our capacity by 100-odd crores by Q1 F28. Apart from the 150 crores that we are already adding from the IPO proceeds.
Understood, sir. Sir, my next question on the margin profile, right? The three sort of segments we have in cable, right? Overhead, power, and the aerial. Can you give some color, which is more profitable and what are the profile range in profit?
So, we are manufacturing everything under the LV segment, from power cables to control cables to aerial bunch cables to conductors to house wires, everything. So, control and power cables have been, they're the biggest contributor to our revenue every year. And what we believe is that that adds more to the EBITDA as far as our experience is concerned. So we have been focusing on LV segment in terms of power control cables and L1 cables also. By Q2 of this financial year, we'll be focusing more towards the medium voltage cables, as we have got ourselves invested in now more than 5 states across India, and we already have a base of the licenses that is required for the medium voltage cables. So we are very confident that we'll be able to gather business from medium voltage cables this year.
Okay. Sir, for internal calculation or planning, you might have estimated the difference between EBITDA margin between lower lower voltage segment and the higher the medium segment that we are going into. So what is the some if you can give some color on the EBITDA margin between these two segments?
So generally EBITDA margins as far as our calculations is concerned that LV cables EBITDA margin stays between 10% to 11%, and we can expect the EBITDA margins to grow from this number to around approximately 12.5% to 13% for the medium voltage segment. And as gradually we increase the portion of our revenue from the medium voltage segment, we can expect the EBITDA margin to increase in future.
Okay, so 12 and 13 is a blended, right? From lower plus medium voltage.
Correct. So 12 approximately would be a blended. If we have an equal percentage of revenue from MV and LV segment.
Okay. So my last question on the CapEx again, the new unit, you mentioned by end of FY27, like the next financial year, we'll have a 28% of capacity utilization, right? Though it is going live in end of H1, right? So the 28% capacity utilization is assumed for whole year, right? In 6 months.
Right. Right. It generally takes 2 to 3 months for, you know, the unit to settle up, the machinery to settle down, the trial runs happen and everything goes on. So it takes around 4 to 5 months to gradually increase the production. So that is why we have given a guidance of around 28% of the utilization levels of the new medium voltage facility.
Okay, sir. So one last question. Do we also have any plan to enter into plus 33 kV segment and or also in adjacent segment like data center cabling of offering?
So we, particularly with 33 kV, the product mix that we are offering is catering about 90% of the whole wire and cable market. And going beyond 33 kV is not on charge this year for sure. And with the data centers cables generally consist of medium voltage cables. A heavy portion of that is medium voltage cables up to 33 kV only. So we are able to cater to these data center requirements also with the current product mix.
Understood, sir. Again, great set of numbers, sir. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tahir Hyderabadwala from Grow Biz Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of numbers. I have this
sorry to interrupt. We cannot hear you clearly.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead. Now it's better.
I have questions on the order book, sir. You mentioned you had 191 crores of order book at the May, and if you can bifurcate the between EPC or tenders or something, low voltage, high voltage, anything would be.
So the current mix is approximately 50 to 45% for EPC and 50 to 55% orders are from the tendering government side. And if you cater to the like product or the mix of these orders in the LT and ST segment, so approximately 25% odd would be for the medium voltage cables and the rest is all the LT product mix.
Okay. And sir, one question on the expansion which you mentioned, which will be live by quarter 1 FY28, will be manufacturing medium voltage cables in that part and would be contributing around 100 crores of revenue, right?
Yes. So this entire facility which is going live of Unit 3 is purely focused towards the medium voltage cables, though we can manufacture LT cables also out of this, but the CAPEX is done from the point of view that we will be doing medium voltage cables. And we should have a ready capacity of at least 250 crores by Q1 of FY28.
Okay, and this additional capacity of which we mentioned will be added 100 crores of revenue, how much CAPEX we have done for the expansion these extra expenses?
So total capex we are doing approx 40 odd crores.
Okay, yeah,
it will in turn give a 250 crores capacity okay, at 80% okay. utilization. Yes.
Okay. Got it. And if you can give us a number of customers, your top 5% customers, revenue contribution, or any names around that part.
So it's then the customers are basically on the EPC consultant, major EPC players in the industry. The names include GE, Siemens, L&T, and the government PSUs includes BEL, NTPC, Power Grid, and the state electricity boards.
Okay, that's it for my chat. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harshit Pandey from Blue Star Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. First of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my question is, what's the guidance for FY27 and what could be the EBITDA margin for full year?
So we will at least want to grow by 40 to 45% on year-on-year basis. That's the guidance that we're giving. And on the EBITDA side, you can expect some improvement as when the medium voltage contribution is happening and starts to elevate.
Got it. And for FY28, same guidance or you are expecting more contribution as new CapEx will be large?
So the guidance remains the same, that the 40 to 50% year-on-year basis we want to grow. That's the minimum.
We want to be a conservative side on when we plan to communicate with the investors.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and want to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Priyanshi Miri from NJP Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, again. Sir, our product, the number of sales that we did for power generation and power consumption side, right? Both shown decline, right? Whereas the other transmission and distribution were grown quite well, right? So is that a conscious management decision given any business scenario? If you can throw some light on that.
No, that's not a conscious decision. We're not barring our EPC clients or anyone that will reserve them for some particular project. So this depends on the entire EPC value chain, what projects are they bidding for and where they want the cables to be used. So we're seeing there's some increase in the power T&D segment as a whole, as there's a long tailwind that is gathering in this particular sector, and that's visible in our results too.
Sir, also, do we also have a D2C planning? Like, I understand that D2C will give us a better margin, right? Like, if we see established players like Polycab, KEC, RL Cables. So, like, right now, given our size, it is totally understood. Like, going into B2B and power gencos are a good strategy. But is there any proactive effort there also for D2C segment?
So entering into B2C demands a lot of expenses need to be done on the marketing and the distribution side, which the company believes is not viable at this stage. And surely we'll want to step into B2C at some point of time, but as of now, we are not clear when the time will be.
Okay, sir. Sir, overall, again, a very great execution at this scale. Thank you for this opportunity. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubhanu Pangal from 3Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Good morning. I want a clarification from you.
just mentioned ki hamara jo EBITDA margin guidance hai 10-11% for FY27 and as medium voltage mix will increase, then EBITDA margin can go up to 12.5-13%. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, so as a blended margin, we can expect it to be more than 11% also, but it all depends on the contribution of the medium voltage cable to the entire product mix.
But normally, medium voltage ka margin kitna aata hai? Standalone medium voltage margin?
Approximately 13%, 13% EBITDA margins at least.
13%. This year, how much mix are we expecting? You are expecting this year?
We are expecting as a whole. So it shall be approximately 11% only. Because the contribution of medium voltage will kick in gradually throughout the year.
Okay. And next, my question on raw material price fluctuation, and how can we mitigate this raw material price fluctuation and maintain our margin going forward?
So as we answered earlier in the question as well, that there is no direct impact on the raw material prices to us as we forward the impact of the volatility of the raw material to the customer. So as such, there is no impact to us. So we are pretty safe on the side of the, you know, if the raw material shoots up or shoots down.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, what's our right to win against competition in different segments? Can you just elaborate on that?
So this competition landscape, so though we are very small, and normally people do ask this question, but we had a great journey of 30 plus odd years, which has enabled us to create significant entry barriers across the different products that we are catering to. So we are offering almost 3000 plus SKUs, and with every SKU, we have a great performance with serving the government clients with a numerous number of kilometers. And that has given an edge to us, and we are approximately catering to 18 plus states with our products. And given the size and the geography that we're able to cater to itself, is a moat that not much even the high value or large players operate with.
And in terms of 3-5 years roadmap, where do you see the company going, scaling? Because there are a lot of tailwind. Any particular sector you would like to grow more compared to what you have been doing till now?
So the approach is simple. Just to grow in the horizontal line that we want to expand over the major geographies, whether it's in our T&D space or generation space or any consumption space, and also grow vertically, that is increasing the value chain with a product mix offering a medium voltage cables and high voltage cables in the longer term.
So adding to it, we have done the tough part of adding all the product mix that is available till 33 kV, which gives us a market cap as on year 24 of 90,000 crores pan India. So we have done the tough part of getting ourselves approved from a single voltage cable to 33,000 voltage cable. So the licenses are in place, the approvals are in place of approximately 18 states. And this is the biggest moat that we have, that we are approved so at so many utility levels and with so many EPCs, that now it's more about scaling this product mix to another level.
And what are the risks and challenges do you see for next 2-3 years if you would like to mitigate to meet your target?
So the major risk has been the variation in the raw material prices. But given the last year's performance, we're able to mitigate the risk in a very good manner. Because increasing the raw material prices first of all, bar the customer to order on time, but seeing the sectoral tailwinds, there has not been a much stoppage on that respect. Moreover, we are able to pass on the entire incremental price increase to the customers, and the customers are therefore not in a very confused state or what. They're very much okay with that. So the major risk of the price variation has been mitigated.
If we talk about aluminium particularly, it has increased from 280 rupees to now almost 410 rupees, and there is not a single impact on the inquiry inflows or the order inflows from the customer level, because in the end, this industry is right now what we believe is very important to the government. Considering what has happened in the Middle East, the generation of power in-house is very important, and not relying on any natural resources which is coming from outside the country. So it is very important for us to become self-reliant in terms of generating our own energy, and this will create a very positive impact, and it has already created a very positive impact that since last 5 years, I would say, there has been a huge allocation of budgets in terms of power transmission, distribution, and generation of power in India, which has resulted to the buying levels to be increasing only, rather than being stabilizing or going down. It has increased only, even if the raw material prices have shot up like anything. So that is a very positive impact. The only challenge we foresee is that if there is any shortage in the demand side from the policies of the government, that is the only challenge we see. That is the only thing that can become a challenge for us.
And specifically, data center opportunity wise, I think it's increasing day by day. So any particular strategy you have in mind to penetrate better compared to competition in that particular sector?
So if we talk about data center definitely would, in a data center, the cables will be required, definitely. But as and when the more data centers are required in a particular region, they would demand more power. You're correct. With data centers coming in, the power demand for the country would increase, like anything. So that could be a game-changing scenario for companies like us, who are totally focused on supplying cables to the B2G, the power transmission, distribution, and generation sector. Because if we want to utilize the data centers in the best possible way and execute the infrastructure of data centers in different regions of the country, we will have to backstep and first utilize streamline the power generation for those data centers, then the transmission part that happens from the generation to the states, and then the distribution of power till those data centers. And that is where Prime Cable has a USP in. We are approved with major utilities which are working in the generation, transmission, and distribution sector of the economy. So it could be a very big game changer for anyone who is involved in the sector.
And just one last question on the competitive intensity of the, I think you said government utilities. So is there a pressure on margins or too much competitive intensity in this tender business?
So definitely competition stays there when you are participating in the tenders. But we as a company have figured out things for us where we have to participate and where we have to be competitive. It is more about, now it is more about us going into those top 10 players where we are qualifying for the major tenders which have stronger qualification requirements. And that saves us on the margin, forte. When we qualify for the stricter qualification requirement tenders, our margin is safeguarded.
Okay, sir. Thank
you. It is about the... Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Next question is from the line of Mangesh W. from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, congrats for the great quarter. My name is Mangesh and I am an individual investor. And my question is around the growth story. So we talked about how in Q1 of FY28, the revenue will be at around like So my question is, will the plants and facilities will start running at 85% from Q1 of FY28? So that the projection of 600 crore is accurate or not?
No, so we'll get the full capacities by FY20 Q1, but utilization will start happening gradually throughout that year. And so it will happen gradually and not in the starting of Q1 of FY28.
Okay, got it. So it will take like 4 to 5 months, and after that 85% will kick in.
So we're not getting that correct guidance when it's happening. It all depends.
So there will be maximum efforts to, you know, bring that utilization level to peak as soon as possible. But when we get the capacity by Q1 FY28, you can expect a year from that for it to, you know, kick in at a peak utilization level.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyansh Mehi from NGP Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, two more questions. First one is the certification we have, right? What exactly a timeline for any competitor for us if they want to again qualify for that? And how strict, sir, if you can throw some light, like, I just want to understand what exactly the strength that is built in our business.
So, if I talk about us as an example, so we took about more than 25 odd years to expand our base to different geographies and to different product mix, because at today's state, even with any small tenders also, you'll find PQRs that you should supply this much of quantities and you should have a performance certificate of minimum 3 years of operational experience in order to serve that particular tender. And so it takes time for anyone to build that kind of a credential. Moreover, you need almost type testing reports for every site that you are offering to these power G, T&D sectors. And getting these TTR reports is also a challenge given the pressure on the lab these days to get the TTRs. So an entire thing, if anyone wants to enter to this sector, will at least take a 2 to 3 years of immense work where they need to apply for the BIS, get the BIS, do the trial productions, and get the type test reports, then maybe apply for small new small tenders where there might be some easy qualifications, and then build upon that. And then from this is for the basic LT cables that we're talking about. And if they want to climb up a ladder to a certain 3.3 kV or 6.6 kV or 33 kV cables, they would have to gradually start supplying based on the LT cables highest sizes. Like, as on today's date, up to last year, we had made all the supplies even with the maximum size possible, that is up to 1,000 square mm in conductors and up to multiple cores in LT cables. And that's why we're able to crack all the trial orders from these SEBs where they have given opportunities to serve in particular projects. And this depends on the entire 30 years plus supply record that we had with these two customers.
And so adding to it, we have done those trial supplies in a very successful way, and now we can, you know, full-fledgedly go out there for the medium voltage segment from this year onwards.
Understood. And this NABL certification, sir, do we receive this for just lower voltage segment or for mid-level also? Does it specify by that, or is it given on
so it's a lab that is NABL certified. So as on when you start adding more equipment, whether it is for testing of LT cables or solar cables or ST cables or any other form of conductors, those lab equipments are added to that NABL certifications. And then if those equipments are added, then obviously the lab becomes okay to test those cables as well.
Okay. And during tendering processor for B2B or B2G, do they ask for such stringent certification also for NABL or any BIS equivalent certification?
Yes, many tenders we're seeing that trend that asking for in-house enabled certificate. Not most, not all of them, but some of them are for surely asking for an in-house enabled certification.
Okay, great. Sir, last question on our current bid pipeline. If you can give some understanding, like what is the current bid pipeline that we are looking into, and by year end, what it should look like. Maybe rough number, not the exact number. That is also fine.
So our current bid win ratio is approximately 25-30%, and in order to maintain that, we try to figure out what number of tenders, what value of tenders are to be filled on each day, on each month, and that's the basic criteria we aim for. So if we want, 300 or 350 crores of order book from our tendering business, we'll aim for approximately 1500 or 100 crores of tenders at least.
Okay. And your focus there is on Pan India, right? Not specific state. That is the correct understanding.
Yes. So we focus on the entire geography, not particular region, and we focus on each type of customers also. Like if you're focusing on oil and gas, mining, steel, apart from the power sector.
Okay. Sir, so last year you mentioned, right, from our existing unit 2, the overall capacity utilization was around 58%, right? So what was the exact reason, sir, why it was not, say, more than 80%? It went live recently? What was the scenario?
So the plant obviously gradually ramp up. First, this plant was set up in the later half of 24, and we got some utilization done in 25, and almost reached the peak utilization last year as of March 26. So that normally takes time ramping up the production in any given plant.
And we calculate our utilization on a monthly basis, because as and when we are fully converted to a monthly basis utilization, peak utilization, we need extra infrastructure space to expand our revenue. So definitely our plans have been very successful, that we planned the the new the medium voltage facility at a time when we had successfully peak utilized our current Ghiloth facility.
And given the visibility, we have ramped up our capex from 25 crores to 40 crores also, because we've seen that we'll be able to quickly reach out to the utilization for the new plant also in the coming time.
Sir, one basic question on this capacity utilization metrics that you follow. We are following one shift as a baseline, right? Not a 24-hour cycle. Is that correct understanding?
So we generally work with two shift scenario.
Okay.
Not for the shift, yeah.
Okay, so, So, we max out on 24 hours, right? Or is 16 hours a day cycle that we are using for capacity utilization?
So, it's generally 16 hours a day that the planning has been done, but some machines goes on for 24 hours also, and some machines may stop in 8 hours or may extend to 16 hours. So it depends on the bottlenecks and the production levels that the plant is facing. Accordingly, they take a decision to whether operate it for 8 hours, 16 hours, or 24 hours.
Okay, sir. So, sir, the planned utilization, what we have shown in the investor deck also, so that we are confident to achieve, right, with overall bidding and everything, right?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Sir, not only the execution, but even the presentation deck and overall how you conduct investor corner, all these are really commendable at this case. So really happy with the overall performance, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Pranav Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I have very basic questions. One, our revenue growth has increased at a very good pace in the last 3-4 years. So I was wondering whether something has changed in the industry. Industry is going through a high growth phase, or has something changed at the end of our company?
So it is primarily driven by the higher utilization of our expanded manufacturing capacity that we have in Ghiloth. We have almost reached the peak utilization on a monthly basis, and it is also because of the strong execution of our order book that was pending and a healthy demand from the SEBs and EPC players across transmission and distribution projects. So specifically Q4 26 was our strongest quarter, supported by a robust execution momentum across the industry.
Right, sir. And actually, I was asking about last 4 years. Like FY 22, our revenue was 54 crores, and now it's 235 crores. So has something changed in the industry? Government CapEx, is it the prime contributor, or our mental thought process has changed that we should be more aggressive?
Right. So definitely in the last 4 years, we had those set of approvals, and we have expanded into the approvals that we have achieved from different states across India. So we stand at an approval level of 18 states in terms of SEBs across India, and apart from that, we are also approved with a lot of PSUs that we closely work with. We have a strong approval base, and because of that, we were just waiting for the new facility to go live, which went live in 24 year end, which gave us a vision to expand our revenue, because as soon as the capacity went live, we were able to serve more clients where we were approved, and we could also take more approvals from that facility, because it is a much much bigger facility than we already had in Delhi. So that is the two driving factors that has changed the whole thing for Prime Cable in the last 4 years,
and this in turn has given us that aggression that was missing in and when me and Nikunj joined, we were very clear that we want to grow at a substantial rate, and we have been lucky with the sectoral tailwind as well. So in all together, it is a mix of both, but as Nikunj said, the primary growth drivers were the expansion, geographical expansion, and the excess capacities that we have built over the years.
Thank you. That was very helpful. And one more question regarding our margins. So our margins were operating margins are about 4, 5, 6%. Let's say 5% till FY24. And now they are 10 to 12%. So, and we are running a very tight ship. I see that the employee cost is 1 to 2% and all other costs combined are 4%. So do we expect to keep running such a tight ship in margins? And what were the factors that contributed to doubling of operating margin from 5% to 10%?
So the major, so we're not tight on the margins, because we want to maintain them, this efficiency, and going forward, we will be more efficient in terms of the percentage of all the costs as compared to the entire margin. And this 5 to 10% margin was majorly because of the economies of scale that has happened when we were doing approximately 80 odd crores of sales, but we were trying to push our products to different geographies. Therefore, the margins were a little less, but now, given the scale and given the execution capabilities that we have, we're seeing those margins. And with the medium voltage coming in, will surely there will be much more improvement to these margins.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Satish Patnaik, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. And great set of results, and it has been very consistent. We are seeing most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to need some guidance on the order book. Not guidance in terms of numbers. Just a guidance, how should we see your order book? Okay. how frequently our order book gets updated. Okay, I have gone through your PPT. It says we do have 190 crores, which we are planning for next 4 to 6 months from here. Okay, that looks good. Okay, so how should we see if I have to think for H2 of this year or the following year in FY28?
So, on a broader strategy, our aim is not to have a huge order book.
Okay.
As in the earlier questions we addressed, that as and when the price increments happen, though we are able to pass on those increments to the customers, but because of those absolute profit margins, our overall EBITDA margins are compromised. So we want to maintain this order book of not more than 4 to 6 months, because that the impact in the price increment in the coming years might affect our EBITDA margin. So the longer or in the longer order books. Yes.
Okay, that's your style, and that's how you want to take it forward. Because I personally also do not always assume that a huge order book guarantees of a high growth. Okay, if that is your style and pattern, good to know that. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Shubhanu Bangal from Three Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for following. Sir, I have just one question on our working capital. What is the receivable day in our government business?
So we typically operate with a 45 to 60 receivable days. That is from the date of receipt, successful receipt of material at title. That is from the material receipt note that is made at title.
And it is normally higher than private business?
So in private business, we generally don't extend those credits by 60 odd days. We try to close it down to some form of NCs or maybe some form of PDCs. So yeah, it's relatively better in comparison with the typical factors of private business.
Okay, and this year our government and private business mix we close around 50-50, close to 50-50. Do we expect this mix will continue?
Can you repeat the question?
This year, we are close to around 50-50 government and private business mix.
Yeah.
And should we expect this mix will continue or government business will go again?
So definitely, our strategy would be to focus more on the privatized part. As and when we increase our approvals in the state utility boards or PSUs or any other solar IPPs, the chances of private orders increases. So our strategy at PrimeCap would be to, you know, increase our product mix on the EPC part more, as the payment and cash conversion cycle is a little better there. So we can expect a typical 5% increase in the EPC side of the order book in future.
Yes. That means our working capital cycle will be improved going forward.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. And best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Harshit Pandey from Blue Star Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. So I just want to understand, what's the ideal split between H1 and H2?
What is
ideal split of revenue between H1 and H2?
So, ideal split in the industry as a whole would be around 40 to 60% between H1 and H2. So, major order execution happens in the H2 quarter in our industry, because there are project deadlines that the end consumer, the SCBs, have to, you know, close down on, and EPCs also have a lot of pressure to close down their projects by the year end. So that is why the Q2, the H2 side is heavier in the industry as a whole.
Got it, sir. And sir, the new CapEx, which will be live this year. So when will the production will start? Like means, if you could give a like month from.
When so we are very hopeful. We are very hopeful that by the beginning of H2, we will be able to start our production.
In H2 means we are expecting. Okay. Thank you,
sir. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
So, thank you everyone for joining us today and for your continued interest in Prime Cable Industries Limited. For any other further queries or information, please feel free to reach out at Atlas Capital.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of the Prime Cable Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.